good to see everyone this morning. We're thankful for your presence. I'd like to direct your attention this morning to 1 John chapter 1 and the first 7 verses. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us." That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. This morning I want to talk about what John is talking about here, having fellowship with God. This morning in our adult Bible study, we began a study of the little epistle of Jude. But it's such an important study. I always wonder when you look at how the Bible was arranged and we realize that the chapters and the verses and even the placement of the different books and so forth, that's pretty much a work of man. And so you wonder, well, why did they decide to put Jude where they decided to put it? And there might be several different reasons, but I think it's a good place to put it. Because it's after all of the other epistles have been written, you have Jude coming in here and saying, look, beware of false teachers. Jude is going to make the point that the gospel has once for all been delivered to the saints, once for all time delivered to the saints. But don't think it's just going to stand all by itself. There's going to be false teachers come in. He's writing to Christians. He wants them to be in fellowship with God. And that can only be when we're in fellowship with God's truth that comes by hearing His word. That's what John is talking about here. But the subject of being in fellowship with God is a subject that's talked about a lot even today. People assume that they're in fellowship with God when they don't meet the conditions of being in fellowship with God. Now, we're going to be in the book of Jude for probably just a couple of weeks. And after that, we will begin a study of the book of Revelation. Many of you have requested that we do a study of Revelation, okay? We're going to do it. It will be a good study. The question is, are you going to be here for the study? We would hope so. We would hope that you put forth an effort to be here and to study that with us so that you'll have an understanding of it. But fellowship with God. You know, a lot of times when we talk about, in general, when you're talking to people about fellowship with God, people just assume that they're in fellowship with God because they believe in God or they believe Jesus is the Son of God. James tells us in the second chapter of James that the demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And they tremble with good reason because although they believe Him, they don't serve Him. The question is, do you serve Him? How do you know if you're serving Him or not serving Him? There's only one way to know. And that's to look into God's Word and see what God's conditions are for being in fellowship with Him. And what John is saying here, and this is consistent with the rest of the New Testament revelation concerning the subject of fellowship, is that this fellowship is really dependent upon us, dependent upon us walking in the light as He is in the light. That means walking in the light, striving to be in the same standard of light as He is in the light. In Him there is no darkness at all. Is there any darkness in you? And each of us will probably say, well, yeah, I recognize there's, okay, there's areas of darkness. What are you trying to do about that? Are you just say, well, that's just the way I am and nobody's perfect and all of those excuses? Or are you striving to walk in the light as He is in the light? Are you constantly reaching forth towards the light and to live to that standard of light that we see in Him? And we do that, of course, as he says, by practicing the truth. There are those who do not practice the truth. Those who walk in darkness do not practice the truth. Well, then, on the other hand, those who walk in the light as He is in the light do practice the truth, right? Right. John chapter 14 and verse 15, we often refer to the words of Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. A lot of people talk about, well, if we love Jesus, this is what we ought to do. If we love God, this is what we ought to do. This is what God, this is what Jesus told us we must do. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 21 of John 14 says, he who has my commandments and keeps them. It's not he who knows the commandments of God. It's not he who has read the commandments of God. It's those who have the commandments of God and keep them. It is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The only way that we can know Jesus, that's what he means by manifest, make seen. The only way that we can see Jesus now is through the eye of faith. That faith that comes by hearing the Word of God and practicing the Word of God. Having His commandments and keeping His commandments. Verse 23, he says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come and to him and make our home with him. Fellowship. We will know him. We will make our home with him. When? When we love him and keep his word. When we love him and keep his word is going to convict us of our sin, show us what we need to turn away from and what we need to turn to walk in the light. We are so dependent upon the Word of God, whether it be the Word of God that was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, or the Word of God that is revealed to us between the covers of this most wonderful book. A lot of people want to make fellowship with God entirely dependent upon God, when it's so clear from these passages and many others that certainly we are dependent upon God being gracious towards us and loving us and revealing His will to us, but is dependent upon us knowing His commandments and keeping those commandments. So we are to walk in the light to what degree? As He is in the light. We are to be practicing the truth, as we notice there in 1 John 1 and verse 6. Philippians 2 and verses 5 through 8, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Remember last week we talked about a Christian is a follower of Christ. Isn't that really what Paul is saying here to the Philippians? Follow Jesus in this. Follow Jesus in being humble. who, being in the form of God, before he came to this earth, he was in the form of God, but he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Why did he do that? Because the wages of sin is death, and he came to pay the price for sin when there was no cause of death in him. He came to die for us, but not just live a full life and then die. No, he came to live a life, to sacrifice his life on our behalf, the death of the cross. And so, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. If we are going to be in fellowship with God, we must be and have the mind of Christ. And as Paul outlines that for us here in Philippians, that primarily is dealing with the subject of humility. He made himself of no reputation. Could he have come and declared openly and triumphantly, I am the Son of God? And let me show you. Heal this person, heal that. Well, he did heal this person and that person and all this. And he did show that he was the Son of God. But did he go about saying, you know, you need to fall down and worship me? No. Did people worship him on occasion? Yes. Did he refuse the worship? No. Why? Because he was God. But he made himself of no reputation. Have you ever just thought about that? God, the Son of God, who created all things, came to that which he created, both in nature and, you know, the height of his creation was mankind, knowing that mankind was going to reject him and kill him and cry for him to be crucified and continue to reject him throughout time, in spite of the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ being preached to save people from their sins, people are going to continue to reject him. Would you do that? Would you allow people who you created, who owe you something, who should recognize you, would you sacrifice yourself knowing that they were going to dishonor you? Jesus did that for the few that would walk in the light as he is in the light, on that pathway of righteousness that leads to eternal life, the narrow way that leads to life, knowing that the vast majority of humanity is going to walk a broad way away from God, away from their Creator, away from their Savior, to enter into eternal destruction. He did it for the few who would love him and keep his commandment. The few who long to be in fellowship with God here and hereafter. He made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant. We talked about that this morning in the book of Jude. And what is a bondservant? Well, it's someone who owes a debt to someone, and so they're not able to pay the debt, and so they say, well, I'll work for it. And they contract a period of time of work to when the debt will be paid off. Jesus wasn't indebted to anybody. But we were. We are. We're indebted to God. Can we pay the price of our sin? We can, but where's that going to get us? Separated from God. The wages of sin is death. Separated from God. That's not good. That's not what we want. That's not what God wants. And so the Son of God became a bondservant in our place for our sins, to pay the price for our sins. He humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient to the law. That law that says the wages of sin is death. Okay? I'll give my life in place of their life. That's what he did. He didn't change the law. He was obedient to the law. And in so doing, he secured our salvation for all who strive to be in fellowship with him, for all who will know him and obey him and glorify him thereby. In James chapter 3 and verses 13 through 18, we find James addressing this as well. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. He's not boisterous. He's not proud. Who is wise and understanding among you? It's the one that you don't necessarily look at what they've accomplished in life. You look at how they've accomplished it. You look at how and their character now that they have accomplished it. By good conduct, his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. So somebody might have accomplished great things in their life. They might be pillars of the community. They might be people that the community looks to for leadership and all that. But they might not have the right character. They might not have the character of wisdom and understanding. They might be boisterous. They boast. They may not practice the truth. They speak against the truth. And when you speak against the truth, you're lying. They're envious of others. He says, where envy and strife and where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Competition. Somebody doesn't want to share the limelight with anyone. They want to be the one that's looked to. They want everybody to look to them. Well, not everybody looks to them. And so they become envious of those that people do look to. They're self-seeking. They're not seeking the will of God. They're not seeking the salvation of others. They just want to be the center of attention. There's going to be confusion and every evil thing. But the wisdom that is from above. Remember, who is wise and understanding among you? The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, and full of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Who is wise and understanding among you? What kind of conduct do you expect to see in one who is truly wise? They are pure. That light of God is a pure light. In him is no darkness at all. It is one who is striving for purity. They might recognize their imperfections, But they don't excuse their imperfections. They don't justify their imperfections. They are striving for purity. They are peaceable. They don't strive. They're not self-seeking. They're not envious of others. They're not promoting themselves. They are peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, ready and willing to forgive, full of good fruits, not by man's account of what a good fruit is, but by God's account of what a good fruit is, without partiality, not preferring some over another, and without hypocrisy, not feigning to be one who is wise and has good understanding, but is genuinely one who exhibits these characteristics of a godly character. These are those who are in fellowship with God. So, the wisdom that is from above is manifested or demonstrated in the fact that we are pure, and peaceable, and gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality. That means without uncertainty, without indecision, not picking and choosing which part of God's word I'm going to keep and which part of God's word doesn't really apply to me. No, without partiality, it all applies to me. And without indecision as to whether I'm going to do it or not. That when God says do this, I need to decide to do it. And when God says don't do that, I need to be decisive in not doing that. Not saying, well, I'll work on that later. No, I need to work on it right now. I need to repent of it right now. Without hypocrisy. In other words, with sincerity. We'll close by reading the words of Jesus in the prayer that he offered to his Father on the night before his crucifixion. If we are walking in the light as he is in the light, he is one who is pure and peaceable. He's not self-centered. He's one whose focus is upon others. Notice how that is brought out in this prayer. Now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they who are in the world, may have joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word. And the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, set them apart. How? By your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Without the sacrifice of Jesus, it wouldn't matter how much truth we practice. It wouldn't get us to heaven. We'd still have to pay the debt for our sin. So Jesus set himself apart, that we may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but for all who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. See the fellowship there? That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. God the Father, God the Son, two different individuals, but one. They were one. Just like a husband and wife are two different individuals, but they become one. God and Jesus, two different individuals, and all who believe and trust in Him and obey Him are separate individuals, but they all can be one with Almighty God and Jesus Christ when they practice the truth. Verse 22, the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and that you have loved them as you loved me. And I've declared to them your name. And I will declare it, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus went through some hard times here on the earth, didn't he? The hardest and most desperate time was that time that he was on the cross. But in all of his hard times, his Father never left him. And in all of our hard times, God never leaves us. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him, and we have fellowship with one another. It's true fellowship. It's not an imagined fellowship. It's not a fellowship that we make up the conditions of fellowship. It's his conditions. But isn't it wonderful to know that when we meet those conditions, we walk with him, and he is walking with us when we know his commandments and keep them. Fellowship with God. It's not a concept. It's something that God teaches us about. It's dependent upon him revealing the word of truth to us and us practicing that truth and glorifying him thereby. And thereby, he says, bringing glory even to ourselves. You talk about someone who was humble, someone who genuinely loved. Here's Jesus on the night before his crucifixion, not praying for himself, but praying for his apostles and all who would believe and obey the gospel of Christ. You and I were on his mind at that time. Is he on your mind at this time? Are you in fellowship with him? You know the word of truth. Are you in obedience to that word of truth? You know that Jesus said, repent. Except you repent, you will perish. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. You know that Jesus said that we are to confess him before men. And if we do so, he will confess us before the Father in heaven. But if we fail to do so, we will be rejected by him. If we're ashamed of him in this evil and adulterous generation, he will be ashamed of us on that day of judgment. Have you confessed him? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You might worship God. Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Have you committed your life to him in obeying him in baptism? And then rising to walk with him in this newness of life, to walk in the light as he is in the light, and to be in fellowship with him. Why would you believe in Jesus? Why would you believe it's important to worship in truth? Why would you believe it's important to live a life of truth and then not be in fellowship with Jesus? If you're out of fellowship with him today because you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, let's correct that right now. And if you're here today and you're a child of God, but you're not walking in the light to the standard of He is in the light, and you're not trying to, you're just excusing your imperfections and your impurities. Won't you embrace a full fellowship with Him and strive to live to His glory? If we have sinned, let us confess it and pray for one another that we might be healed. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?